We're going to try to tease something up. There is a television commercial that I have heard, and it is stuck on the inside of me. How many of y'all have ever heard a song or a commercial or an ad, and you just can't pull that bad boy out of your ears and out of your head and out of your hearing? Y'all ever had that situation? So I just want us to enter in here, if y'all will just bear with the geriatric department here for a moment, just to listen to this commercial by Celebrex. All right, that's good. So anyway, how many of y'all have seen our Celebrex commercial? Hopefully no one is on it here yet, but at any rate, that's just one of those ads that have really resonated in my heart. And right out of the gate, they basically try to appeal to our common sense by saying simple physics declare that a body in motion tends to what? Stay in motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. And so, in other words, what we do, we are able and empowered to do more of, for good or for ill, because we get in a rhythm and we get in a routine, and the reality of that routine serves as wind to our back to keep doing it. How many of you know it's easy to go to the gym when you've been going to the gym? It's easy to go. If you have not been going for a while, to try to step out and to go again, there's a little more effort. But when you're in the flow, when you're in the routine, it's easy to do more of what you're already doing, what you're already invested in. We could say that energy and movement creates more energy and movement. Profound, but really not. It's so simple, but yet it is profound. Lethargy and inactivity likewise create more of the same. We have a little Sheltie in the Stewart home, and we purchased our Sheltie when we came back from the mission field 12 years ago. So our dog Dunes is 12 years old and humanoid years. What does that equate to doggy years? Any dog lovers, can you do the math real quick? 84. All right. So basically, I have an 84-year-old dog, but one of the funniest scenes in my home, and as of late, would be I will be in our den, and our downstairs is fairly wide open, but I will notice something out of my peripheral vision, and I'll notice my wife and my dog going in circles from the foyer to the dining room to the kitchen, back to the foyer to the and all of a sudden it dawns on me, they're doing laps. And I'm like, honey, what are you doing? And I look, and she's got the dog on the leash. And she's like, I just need to keep him moving. I don't want him just to, you know, fall like a sack of potatoes on the floor and remain there. But, you know, every so often at night, I'll see her doing laps with our dog. And she just wants to keep him moving, thinking that it'll help limber him up, keep the joints lubricated, etc. We are all familiar with Isaac Newton's law of motion. Are we not inertia? That would agree with this premise that motion creates motion. Can we say that together? Motion creates motion. Again, once a body is in motion, it tends to stay in motion. The same is true for the body of Christ as well. I want to appeal to us this morning that the church is at her best when we are mobilized. The church is at her best when we are moving. When the church is at rest, we don't cease to be the church. Okay, so we're not into, you know, trying to prove our devoutness by burning out or by being extreme. I'm just saying it seems that we're our best when we're mobilized. When we're at rest, again, we don't cease to be the church, but we just seem to be at our best moving. And the point of this commercial is that one has better health when moving. One has better, of course, with their product, by the way, that's the other little, you know, obvious. You know, get moving, but here, take our pill. You know, side effects could be blindness, deafness, heart attack. You know, you can't breathe. I get tickled with these, you know, these pharmaceutical commercials, and now they're bound by law to put the disclaimer of all the side effects. You know, side effects, you know, deafness, blindness, you know, and shutdown, heart failure. It's like, oh, wonderful, great, thanks. But at any rate, where the point is, there's the potential for better health. And one neat thing about the human body is that our body has memory. There's a memory that our body has. For instance, if you've been going to the gym, you've been lifting weights in a regular way, on a regular cycle. If you fall off and you don't lift for a season, when you go back, even it could even be months and months, but when you go back, it's easy to cut and find the sculpting of those same muscles due to memory that was created when we were in the routine. And again, that could be true for any activity. There's a memory. So when we are moving spiritually, spiritual activity and miracles are most probable. And one thing connects and provokes another, and it provokes another. Y'all have heard the adage before that success begets success. You nail down success in one area and it leavens and it feeds into another area, and then it provokes another area, and because of that area, now it provokes something that had nothing to do with that area at all, but because there's movement here, somehow the movement here affected and leavened something over here. And after a while, you're able to connect the dots and do the math, thinking it was this movement that created that movement. It's kind of like, had I not risen up and just said, bless God, I'm going to find the money to go to this conference, I wouldn't have been in this line with this Chinese student. Had I not been in line with that Chinese, I wouldn't have been able to lead him to the Lord. And sometimes you're just able to see, because I took a step of faith here, it led me to this. And then this point of God's encounter then spun off into these tributaries here, 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 and here. Again, it's the law of motion, of setting something else in motion. And that's a good thing. Energy generates energy. I remember when I was a student at NC State 79 years ago, I had a moped, but technically it wasn't a moped because it had a drive shaft instead of a chain and pedals, and it required a helmet. I was too cool to wear that, required a license plate and insurance and all of that, and because I was too cool to wear the helmet. Sure enough, a car did pull out. I did kiss the car, smacked it with my head, 8 stitches under my eyebrow. If you want to see it after church, I'll be in the back signing my new book about busting my head. But at any rate, but I had the drive shaft, so I didn't have the moped with the pedals. But the moped with the pedals, many times you got to get that bad boy started. I mean, it will drive on its own. But how many of y'all have had the pedal moped before? You got to get on that thing, and you've got to pedal it, and then it'll turn on and move. There are some cars that break down where, in order to jumpstart it, you got to get a couple of big, robust guys, you know, in the back pushing it before they kick that thing into gear and before it'll start. You get the logic. As we move, things happen. Again, the law of use. Are you in Acts 5 yet? Acts 5. And again, I love this book. It is called Acts for a reason. This book is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, as we know. Acts, action, the Acts of the Apostles. This book is not entitled Pensive Contemplation, although there is a place for pensive contemplation. There's a place for both. It's the whole Martha Mary tension. We have to be Mary to wait at his feet, And a lot of times it's easy to scorn Martha, but if there were no Marthas in our midst, nothing would ever get done. So we need to rest in that place of hearing from God. Once we hear God, we get up and we move, okay? So this was the book of action. Join with me, if you would, in verse 12. The first church had been birthed, exciting things happening, testimonies all the time. I mean, they went to Disney World. They stood in line. They led people to the Lord. You know, their version of Disney World, which was Jerusalem. They were seeing things happening as they went, as they were moving, as they were in motion. God promised to be with them. As they were going, God promised to be with them. There's a place for staying, a place for going. Verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, verse 14, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them into the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Verse 42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house. They never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They just would not stop. They just would not stop. They just refused to stop. They just kept going, flogged. And instead of being dejected, well, gosh, I guess we missed it, they actually skipped for joy. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says to skip for joy when you are persecuted and handed up due to my name. When we're persecuted, we shut down and then curl up like an embryo and think, what did I do wrong? The Bible wisdom, they thought, must be doing something right. And they weren't persecuted for foolishness' sake. They were on mission. They had a right spirit. They were dressed by the Holy Spirit. And they just couldn't be put down. And so they kept on task. They kept on mission. There are thousands of opportunities every day to get off mission. Do we realize that? There are emphasis, good truths, good things to be involved in. Even the good can derail and distract. But these guys were unrelenting. They refused to stop. And because they refused to stop, guess what? God refused to stop. As long as they were moving, God was moving. As long as they were stepping into a place of faith, God would reward. When we shrink back, Hebrews says, you know, we're destroyed. But where are those that live by faith? It's a choice. Every day I can shrink back, I can step forward. The proverbial salesman that walks up to the door and talks himself out of the sale before they even ring the doorbell. They don't want to hear this. They don't want my product. And before they even have opportunity to be rejected, they've already talked themselves down and out. But there are people that do want our product. And even if there are those that would say, no, thank you, not today, there are always those that are in the wings that would say, thank you. Thank you for risking the rejection here, here, and here to find me. I can't tell you how many people I have pursued and have faithfully, diligently followed up, preached, ministered to, counseled, preached to, and they never made it, but their brother did or their sister did. I'll be preaching to one in their home, and I'm thinking, this is the one. And all of a sudden, there's someone here that's getting hit by God due to secondhand smoke. I mean, here they are. They're not even dragging on the cigarette, but just secondhand smoke somehow is getting over there. And this one, it never happened, but they heard it, and they connected. And I'm like, my focus was here. But yet, they heard it, mixed faith with it, and pow, the miracle happened. We put our confidence in the Word of God. But as you read this passage that we read, did you see some movement here? There was movement all over the place. There was motion, advancement, constancy. As we go back here in this chapter 5, look at verse 14. It says, nevertheless, the more and more men, they believed in the Lord and they were added to their number. Then we drop down into verse 20, when they had been in prison. And the angel came and said, shh, guys, careful, use wisdom. No, he didn't. He busted them out. He said, get back out there where you belong. Can you imagine that? You're out in the public square. And years ago, we teethed on open air preaching. I mean, we haven't done that in 20 something years. But back in the day, it was somewhat of a phenomenon. And there were people that we impacted by that mechanism. But I think sometimes it did more for us than it did to the hearer. But they were in the public square. They get arrested. And then the angel of the Lord lets them out and says, go right back out where you are commissioned to go. Stand in the temple courts. Tell the people the full message of this new life. We drop down into 25. Look, the men that you put in jail, where are they now after their release? They're in the temple courts. What are they doing? Teaching the people. Also, we see in verse 28, when they're being intimidated supposedly by the religious intelligentsia of the day, and they're trying to shut them down. There is a spirit of intimidation that will always try to shut your good report down. But I love their response. They said, teach no more in this name, this teaching. Where are we? Verse 28. But they said in verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. It was just real simple. I heard what you said. Appreciate it. But we're going to obey God rather than men. You know, have a good day. High five. Also down in verse 42, they were unrelenting. Love it. Day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching, proclaiming the good news. This is wonderful. Their faithful activity, it caused the gospel to take over. And if you've ever done any real traveling in the South, there's this vine that just refuses to stop. This vine will not go up to an oak tree and say, oh, you're an oak tree, I guess I need to go around you. You know, no, this vine has a mind of its own. Like fire has a mind of its own. It'll just consume anything in its path. Well, this southern vine, kudzu, has a mind of its own. It'll take over just acres and acres and hundreds of acres of anything in its path. The Word of God is to be like that. The Bible says in Acts that as these men were moving out and being faithful to mission, it says that the Word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Just like kudzu, it just took over. Now we know it was relegated to Jerusalem in the first few years, but God even had a remedy for that. The activity was good. It was marvelous. But as what we read in Acts 5, at this point in stage, it was still relegated to Jerusalem only. And so if we'll remember from a week ago, the commission of Jesus that we looked at in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when his last will and testament, Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Also in Acts 1, 8, after the Holy Spirit had been poured out, it says, but power will come on you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were, in Jerusalem. But he went on to say Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. There was a progression going on there. And so it started in Jerusalem, but it was not to be contained and to remain there. And so, again, it did not go to Judea and Samaria and to the utter parts at first. It didn't get there initially, but a little external stimulation, as we know, through persecution, namely the stoning of Stephen, created new motivation to go out, new motion. So again, Acts 1, 8 references Judea and Samaria, but it's interesting, if you invert Acts 1, 8, it's Acts 8:1, and we pick up with the persecution and see the fulfillment of Acts 1:8. Acts 8:1 says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout where? Judea and Samaria. They actually got there, did they not? Because one motion created another motion. And so there's something about the wisdom of embracing the words of the Lord. He always starts with plan A, but he's got a plan B. Parents, if you're thinking, dear me, my children aren't yet where they need to be, God's got a plan B. There's a plan C. There's another way. And so God instituted a plan B, and there it is, Judea and Samaria, the very regions Jesus referred to in Acts 1:8. But the narrative continues. We read down in Acts 8:4. It says, those who had been scattered preached the word where? Wherever they went. Kudzu. Motion. Wherever they went. Good motion here. Everywhere. It can be in a line at Disney World. It could be checking out in a grocery store line. It could be visiting a neighbor. There's no place where you are prohibited from taking your podium. Martin Luther in the 1500s, he said, "The whole world is my parish." In other words, my podium, my pulpit goes with me everywhere I go. And it's not the caricature of pounding on a pulpit in your disposition, in your personality, with your flavor, in your style. Yes, with wisdom. Yes, with tact. Yes, with diplomacy. That's your parish. And there is something about the new life that comes on us as we are giving out. We used to tell people 25 years ago, you've never lived until you've open air preached. There was something about the quivering of it. There was something about the fearfulness of it all, of seeing hundreds of students. And y'all have heard the stories of how the first time I went, when Pastor Ron took me out to the pit, and there was the bookstore and the union and the cafeteria, and there were hundreds and hundreds that would funnel through. And again, this is not guys with a sandwich board with a bullhorn telling people they're going to hell. I mean, you know, even, and you know what, even though I may not agree with that, I don't disagree with what they're saying, and it doesn't bother me. You know why it doesn't bother me? Because I'm right with God. So those that are so agitated by the guy that's, you know, screaming out names, even though I might not do it that way, it still doesn't bother me. Because I'm all right with God. They say you throw a brick at a pack of dogs, the one you hit's going to yelp the loudest. But at any rate, we went out there and hundreds of people would be plowing through there. Pastor Ron said, I'm going to get up, I'm going to preach, and you're going to be just so zealous. Fire of God's going to come on you. You're not going to be able to wait to get out there. So we went out there, sure enough, change of class, hundreds of students filing through. He looked at the crowd, got nervous, and said, you go first, you know. So our joke is, he's been saying that ever since. But we saw, but there was fruit, and there were people that got saved. And our mantra was, you hadn't lived until you've lost face and other to save another. And that's another thing, is you've got to be willing to lose face when you engage someone in line, or when you raise your money and you get on a plane and you go to another nation. Of course, the good thing about that is you can just go for broke and come back. You'll never see them again. So there's a new level of boldness. But at any rate, there were people that were coming to the Lord due to being faithful to the message. And even though people may pretend to be cavalier, people are hurting. And they're not going to come up to you all the time and say, I'm dying inside, because we're in the South. But people are. And I remember this old boy, one time, a year after we had been out there, he came up, gave his life to the Lord, and he goes, you don't know this. And he had an alternative lifestyle, and he was miserable. He was anything but happy. He said, I used to sit out there every day and hide behind the Daily Tar Heel to pretend that I was doing something else. But I would go out there just to listen to you guys preach, because I was in hell. He even had jumped off the roof of a bank to try to commit suicide and didn't die. Broke his back, but didn't die. And so as foolish as it is, this gospel that we proclaim, it's the very power of God unto salvation. And it works. And he would go out and he would hide behind the newspaper every day and listen. And he got right with the Lord. So again, they were scattered. Chapter 8, verse 1. And they preached everywhere. Wherever they went, it was their pulpit. Verse 5, Philip went down to a city in where? Oh, here it comes. See, they're doing the mission. Samaria. And he proclaimed the Christ there. So, all right, the gospel got to Samaria. Yay, God. Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that where? Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So they finally went there. Samaria accepted. That's a yay God moment. One motion created another motion. They finally, ultimately went. Therefore, God went. Because they went, God went. And that's why God says, I'm sending you. The gospel also made its way to Judea. We read that in the accounts of Acts. And I love Paul when he recounted to King Agrippa in Acts 26, 19 through 20. He said, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all," what? "Judea." Yay! It got to Judea. It left Jerusalem. It got to Judea. It got to Samaria. "First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." So the gospel did go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And yes, it went to the ends of the earth. You know, you had the original 12 apostles, but then there were multitudes. I mean, the 12 went to 120, you had the 500, and on and on and on. The gospel went out. People ask at times, well, where did the original 12 end up? You know, they all gave their lives, notwithstanding John, on the Isle of Patmos, but they left Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a good starting point, and this is not an anti-Jerusalem message. Raleigh is our Jerusalem. You don't go to Judea, you don't just automatically go to Samaria and neglect Jerusalem. It's not either or, it's both and. We're staying and we're going. We're settling and we're pioneering. The theological term in theological circles is modality and sodality. Modality being mobile, sodality settling and planting and being established in a location. Traditionally, you can never have both together. Usually, you're in a missions organization or you're in a local setting, and that's where you plant your flag. But we know that in our ministry, we're called to do both. It's not either or, but both and. We're called to establish and put roots in Raleigh, to be established in Wake County. But it doesn't stop here. We're still world Christians. We're going here and we're going there. We're going there and we're committed to here. It's both and. Our experience of going there broadens us and makes our lives fuller and richer for when we're here. Our local experience and what we learn in the local, we take that training there. So again, it's both and. But these original apostles, they did make their way into the regions of the world. Paul did make it to Rome. He preached to Caesar. He got before Caesar, talking about changing a world changer. See, he thought like this president in Honduras, if I can get Caesar, if I can get that old boy, maybe he'll open it up. But we know there was a great persecution, Roman persecution, as we know. But the mindset is, if I can get that leader, if I can get that person of influence, and they're sympathetic to the gospel, oh, the ability they have to do good. Thomas, doubting Thomas, went to India and Parthia. James of Alphaeus went to Spain and Syria. Andrew went to Scythia and neighboring countries, the ex-Soviet Union. Bartholomew went to Asia Minor, modern Turkey today. Jude went to Assyria and Mesopotamia. Peter was martyred in Rome. Matthias went to Dacia or modern-day Romania. Philip went to Carthage in North Africa. Simon the Zealot ministered in Persia. John went to Patmos, modern-day Greece, and on and on. They were faithful in Jerusalem, got a little stimulation through the stoning of Stephen, made it to Judea, made it to Samaria, and ultimately spanned the globe. And then they fell asleep. And then they fell asleep. David was faithful with the purpose of God in his generation. Then he fell asleep. We're not called to do what Paul did. Not called to do what Peter did. These others. We're just called to be faithful with where God has planted us. To run as hard as we can run in the grace of God. But again, mission causes our lives to feel richer and fuller. Through giving, we always receive. Not to mention the changed lives in the equation. Motion. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. And oh, the fruit is sweet. Body at rest tends to stay at rest. Rest is not anti-God. There's a season, but it's a season. There's a season of going. There's a season of staying. There's a season of staying. There's a season of going. But the more we move, the more motion is put into place. How many of y'all have discovered the more you read your Bible, the easier it is to read your Bible? The more we neglect our Bible, the harder it is to neglect the Bible. The more we pray, have you noticed, the easier it is to pray. You know, the less we pray, the harder it is to pray. The more we evangelize, the easier it is to evangelize. But we never get to a point where it's like, yeah, I got this. You know, I got, you know, it's never like a swag. I got this. I mean, I've been doing this thing 30 years, and I was at the car wash the other day, and this guy was F-bombing left and right, and I thought, I just want to get my car washed. I don't want to preach right now. Just wash my car, you know. But, I mean, I've been doing this 30 years, and I still got to go, okay. I mean, it's like there's that still that sense of, all right, here we go. You know, and there's that sense of, God, what are you saying? What am I to celebrate? Am I to soft pedal? Am I to put on the brakes? But the point being, the more you're in the groove of routine, the easier it is. That's true for giving. It's true for fasting. It's true for just about anything in life, secular and spiritual. Routine, church, is a friend to advancement, to any endeavor. What's tragic is when something comes on the scene, some crisis hits the scene. You know that when crisis hits, we always revert to form. And if we've not been faithful in a right form, when crisis comes, we're like a deer in the headlight. I'm going to go after the cross now. Well, no, the crisis is here. We want to go after the cross before that thing hits, so we're on. Like the Navy SEALs, we're on. And it's all in grace. It's not huffing and puffing and striving and trying to prove that we're devout. You've heard before, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's the law of use. We'll close with this. As one man said, don't die with music in you. Don't die with music in you. Sing. Bring forth your song. Noise it aloud. Let it be heard. If you make mistakes, it's okay. Adjustment can come, but we are at our best when looking out. We are at our best when in motion. Can we stand up together? Two models of churches in Scripture. The Jerusalem church, it was established, it was local. The Antioch church was sending in missions base. We've said for years, and even communicate this in our membership classes, that we are building an Antioch church on the foundations of Jerusalem. So it's not either or, but both and. Lord, we just ask you for divine motion, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we pray that you would move us and stir us. And I pray that by our moving and our movement, that we would stir you. Lord, it'd be a 1-2 punch, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, you give greater grace to the humble. Now, Lord, through humility, we're asking you for a proper movement day in and day out, a proper motion. Isaac Newton's law of motion, one thing moving causes another to move. Lord, grant us movement in our heart, movement in our thinking, movement in our actions. We've been on this vein for about 3 weeks, so we're going to pray it again today. If you want boldness, just at your seat, ask him. We all need it. Paul needed it. We need it. Lord, we ask you, one more time, Lord, give us boldness while we're watching culture crumble around us And even though we shake our fist every time we read a newspaper and point our finger when we watch the newscast, oh, how bad it is. But yet, who's willing to get in that groove and be a healer, be an agent of change? Lord, we ask you this week for an open door for your word. We just pray, show us. Lord, now send us. Let's just ask the Lord to send us to Raleigh. Lord, we ask you to send us to Jerusalem, our Jerusalem. Send us officially right where we are into our dorm rooms, our campuses, in the marketplace. Send us there that we're not just there physically, but that we'll know that we know that we know. No, I've been sent there. I'm commissioned to be there. That's my ministry. To produce a product, to do my utmost for His highest, to be excellent, but also to leaven with wisdom and finesse. Lord, we ask you, flip the lights on in our experience. Send us, we pray, to Raleigh. Send us to our Judea, to our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And we declare grace, grace to all these things, we pray, God, in Jesus' name.